We hope our broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. You can find more resources on our website, cwh.org. Today's message, Demons, Satan's Secret Agents, speak of Satan afflicting people all over the world, fighting the people of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're so happy to be back today, and we want to thank you for opening up your house or your apartment or your tent or wherever you're at, and so we can all worship together. And we go all over the world, radio, to shortwave radio and television, and so all over the world, we're gathered together, and we're worshiping at Jesus' feet. And what are we going to study about? It'll leave a bad taste in your mouth. We're going to talk about demons, Satan's secret agents. And we need to know about them because we can fight them better if we know them. And so just call your friends and say, he's going to preach about the devil. And then see, well, maybe that'll scare him out. I don't know, but that's what we're going to talk about. But before we preach, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many wonderful letters, and we read every one, and we just want to thank you, and we hope more of you will write. And at the close of the service, you get your pencil and paper. I'll give the address, and then you can write to us. Love to hear from you. But here's some of the letters we get. This is from Vernon, Alabama. I wanted to let you know that I've given my heart and my life to Jesus. This past Saturday at the end of your message, I repeated the sinner's prayer with you and invited Jesus into my heart and life and asked him to save me. I ask you to pray for me that I will live my life that will be pleasing to God. Please send some literature that you have. And so now here, listen to this, friends. When you send a gift or when you pray for this ministry, you have a part in bringing this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we can't do it without your help, and you can't do it without us. But together we can get it done and obey the command of the Lord to carry the gospel to all the world. That's exactly precisely what we're doing on the Christian Worship Hour. Now here's a letter, and listen to this letter. It's from Mount Angel, Oregon. And this young lady writes, when I was young, I had an abortion. Well, and then she said, will I get to see my baby in heaven? Now, I'm going to tell you, this is the glory of the gospel. There's two answers to this. The first answer is about the baby. That little baby is safe in the arms of Jesus. And if it's an aborted baby, that is a life that God gives. And if you abort that and sin against God that way, God will take that little one home. For instance, in Matthew chapter 19, they brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. Doesn't say anything about baptism. Don't read baptism in there. It isn't in there. As a matter of fact, St. John says Jesus never baptized anybody. But here it says that he brought little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, suffer the little children for come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Jesus is saying, all the little babies aborted, all the little children die before the age of accountability. They are part of my kingdom. They belong to me and their home safe. So the baby's safe. Now the mother's committed a sin here. But here's where the gospel comes in, the good news. And the good news is this. If you go to Jesus and you tell him you're sorry for your sin and you ask him to forgive you for your sin and promise not to do it again and you're going to follow him and serve him, you just ask him into your heart and he will forgive you. You say, yeah, but I knew what I was doing. I was doing it wrong. Will he still do it? He'll do it. They're asking, will he forgive if I sin against light? I've sinned against light. I'm not proud of it. It's sad about it. But it doesn't matter whether you knew it was right or wrong. If you ask Jesus to forgive you, my grace is sufficient for thee. and my where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more, because the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:7, to washes away all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. And here it is, I can write to this lady, already written to her, and tell her, you just get right with Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive you, and you'll see your little baby again. And won't that be beautiful? Oh, I love to preach because it's good news. No one is beyond being saved until he's dead. And once you're dead, then's the judgment. I can't help you. Nobody can help you. Here's a letter from Minot, North Dakota. Some time ago now, this lady writes, I opened the door to my heart for Jesus to enter in, and he certainly has. He's been with me by my side all through my bout with cancer. And that's what you do. When Jesus comes into your heart, he comes to stay. And he says that I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. And he says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus. The Holy Spirit will enter your heart and your life, and your body will be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that Holy Spirit will be with you forever. That's all the way to heaven. You belong to God. You're saved forever. People say, oh, I was saved and I was lost and I've been resaved 50 times. Jesus says you must be born again. He didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again. You can be born physically once and you're born spiritually once. What a glorious gospel. Here's one more. Oh, I got to read this. Lake Stevens, Washington. When I was growing up, the men of our church used to shout, amen, brother, preach on. And so we too shout, amen, brother Salem, preach on. Well, I appreciate that, but I can't hear you. But I tell you what you could do. You could write a letter and send some money. I'd hear you. And we I can't pay the TV stations with the amens and hallelujahs, but I can with the dollars that you send in. So at the end of the service, get your pencil. Don't go to sleep now, but just stick with me a little bit. It won't be long. I never preach a long time. Just seems like a long time. And you just stay with me, and then you can say amen by sending a gift. And at least pray. That's where the power is. All right, let's look at these demons, Satan's secret agents. And all right, so then we have to say, where did they come from? Where did they come from in the first place? And we have to tell you this, that there's only one source of information for demons or for angels or anything of that spiritual, that is, and that's from the Bible, God's holy word. All we know about the demons is in the Bible, but we know plenty, because he wants to warn us. And so these demons came from heaven, if you can imagine it, because God created them, he made them, and then they sinned and were cast out of heaven. The story goes with Satan was originally created by God, and he was called Lucifer. And he was a very special creation, a special angel. And he was a beautiful angel and had great greatness to him, beauty to him. And then he sinned against God, and sin was found in him, and God cast him out of the heaven and cast him down to the earth. And someday he's going to put him in the lake of fire. And when he cast Lucifer, who became Satan, when he cast him out of heaven, and there were he had followers. And Bible students think probably there are about a third of the angels, because John has a vision and he sees the devil cast out of seven from heaven, and he sees a long tail and he swept down a third of the stars. And they think that means that a third of the angels, beautiful angels, followed Satan and became demons. So that's where they come from. Originally they were angels, just like Lucifer, and now they've become demons, followers of Lucifer, followers of Satan. There are two books in the Bible, two passages that talk about the question of the angels and the demons. The first one, Isaiah, puts the question, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? The prophet Ezekiel tells him how he was fell from the morning. And God revealed it to Ezekiel in the 28th chapter of his prophecy. And he says in the 28th chapter in the 12th verse, he talks about Lucifer now, who's going to become Satan when he's cast out of heaven. As Lucifer, he said, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That is, he was perfect in every way, in intellect, in beautiful. He was just a great creation. And listen to this, the description. Every precious stone adorned you. The ruby, topaz, all of the stones that you can imagine, they were all a part of Lucifer in his decked out affair. And it was also, we are told in Genesis, in Exodus 28, 13, that he was placed in mounted in gold. So he was a glorious, beautiful creature that God made. But this then, he says, you were in the Eden, the garden of God. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. That is, he had an exalted, Lucifer had an exalted position at the very throne of God. And then something terrible happened. Whatever it was, we're told in the 15th verse, this is what happened. Exodus, Ezekiel 28, verse 15. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Sin entered into that Lucifer. And the moment sin entered, he was done with heaven, because God will never have anything to do with a sin. There'll not be a speck of sin in heaven. And that's why you and I can't get there unless we have the righteousness of Christ, unless he washes us in the blood of the Lamb. Sin that left the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. That's got to be white as snow, and you can't do it without Jesus. That's why you have to have Jesus. The way to heaven is a person, Jesus, not a church or not an organization or a ritual or all of the rest of the stuff they have. It's a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so then they ask Isaiah, how have you fallen from heaven? You've been cast down to the earth. You were once laid low as the nations. And Lucifer tells what it is. It's pride. It's self-will. Five times Lucifer talks about his pride and what he's going to do. And so we read, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly in the mouth. Utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. What does this all mean? It means that Satan becomes very, very proud and arrogant, and he's going to take the place of God. And God tells us, you're filled with pride, and he says, pride goeth before a fall. And so he is told, you're brought down to the grave. You're cast out of heaven, and you're going to be in that grave, in that pit that burns with fire and brimstone, or where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you're going to be there forever. And all of the followers of Satan are going to be with him, all of the demons. And, oh my God, listen to this. Hell wasn't made for human beings. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But if you line up with the devil, and by that I mean if you reject Jesus Christ, you say, well, I'm not for the devil, that's for sure, but I'm not for Jesus either. See, I'm neutral. I'm independent. I'm not Democrat or Republican. I'm independent. You know what Jesus said about the independent? This is what he says. He is not who is not for me is against me. If you're not for Jesus Christ, you're against him. You're in the devil's camp. You say, I don't want to be in the devil's camp. Well, that's where you are. And that's where you'll die. And that's where you'll spend eternity. Unless you call in the name of the Lord and are saved. If you want to be on Jesus' side. Then you come to Jesus and you tell him, oh, dear Jesus, I want to be in your camp. I want to be your follower. I just pray that you come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins the best I can. And I'll walk with you and follow you. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you may not want to be in the devil's camp, but that's exactly where you are. If you're not in the kingdom of light, you're in the kingdom of darkness, and there's no inner place, there's no central place, there's no neutral place. It is or it isn't. It's black or it's white. It's heaven or it's hell. It's Jesus or God, or it's or the devil and his angels. That's all. That's why we preach our heads off all the time, is trying to get you to listen. and turn to Jesus. Why do you want to perish while you say, I don't think you can prove there's a God? I can prove there's a God just like that. You want to know how? I'll prove it to you 1 second after you're dead. You'll find out if there's a God, but it'll be too late. You better get right with God now. God help you. And I think all over the world there are people saying right now, oh, I do want Jesus. I do love Jesus. And I hate my way of living, and I hate my sins. And I've done things I'm so ashamed of. And I hope nobody ever finds out about some of the things I've thought in my mind and wash me clean. And Jesus, God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He'll wash them all away, take them all away. And so I'm praying you'll do that. Well, now let's see. Let's just look once more, a little more about these angels, about these devil's angels, these demons. They are in work right now. And so this is what Paul writes. He writes in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 12. He's talking about Satan and the demons. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No, it's a spirit world. We flesh not of flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our battle. And we have to be very careful because they're all over the face of the earth. And these angels, this Satan is so deceptive. He's such a dirty louse, and he's so wicked. Let me give you some of the names they have for the devil. Here we're told the devil means slanderer. Satan means accuser. He's called the dragon, that ancient serpent in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. He's called the tempter, Matthew 4, verse 3. He's called Beelzebub, the prince of demons. He's the prince of the demons, Matthew 12, 24. He's called the father of lies, John 8, 44. He's called a murderer from the beginning, 8, 44. He's called Beelzebub, meaning the lord of the flies. Isn't that a stinking mess? Lord of the flies, Matthew 10, verse 25. He's called Belial, meaning worthlessness or ruin, 2 Corinthians 6:15. He's the meanest, lowliest person in the world, the creation of the world, and it's a constant battle, and we're going to have to fight him until we come to the end of time. But as long as we live, we're going to have to fight him. But that's what we're here for. We got the Holy Spirit gives us strength. The Holy Spirit enlightens our eyes so we can see how these things are coming and so we can work against the wiles of the devil and the sneaky things he does. And so as this battle goes on, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. The devil, as strong as he is, the demons, as strong as they are, they'll never be able to inhabit your heart and your heart if the Holy Spirit is there. In the Old Testament, the demons could come and go. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons in her Jesus cast out. But after the resurrection, after Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried, and after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you never, ever hear of the Holy Spirit leaving one of the believers, and you never read. There's no place where the devil can enter our hearts. He can try to influence us, and he can tempt us, and he can do all kinds of evil things. And Paul says he even comes and masquerades as an angel of light. He's just as wicked as they come, but he can never win the day because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that devil can never enter your life, and the demons can never enter your life. They can come like Job. You remember the story of Job and how that he was such a perfect man. And how that he loved God. And God said it. The neighbor said it, but God said it. God said he's the most righteous man on the face of the earth. And the devil wants to get to Job because he says, yeah, Job's such a good man, God, because you're good to him. But if you let me just take his things, let me just strike him down, he'll curse you. And God says, all right, Satan, I'll let you go. You can touch his property, but you can't touch him. And the devil came and he took away all of his property and he took all of his family and he took his children, not his wife, but all the children. Job still trusted God and loved God. And so then the devil came back and he says, well, I'll tell you one thing. If you let me put my hand on Job, he'll curse you and die. And God says, all right, you can touch him. You can put your hand on him. You see, Satan is just like an old dog. He's on a leash and he can go just so far as God lets him. When God says you can't take another step, he can't take another step. And so God says, all right, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. And old Satan worked on him and he put him on so well. He had boils so bad he was on the city dump on an ash pile. And he had the pieces of clay, the pottery that he was scraping his wounds, his sores with. And he's almost to die. So now you'll curse God. And so God and the devil. And then he talks to his wife. And his wife comes out and says, Job, you are a mess. You've lost everything you have. God doesn't help you. God doesn't care about you. Why don't you curse God and die and just get out of this misery? You know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And the point is this. The devil may afflict us, and he may put us in hard places, and he may tempt us. God never tempts us. Only the devil does that. If you're tempted to drink, or tempted to liquor, or tempted to drugs, that doesn't come from Jesus. That doesn't come from God. That comes from the devil. Jesus never tempts anybody. And so the devil will come and he'll tempt. He'll try everything. And you say, oh, I'm such a strong Christian. He would never tempt me. Oh, listen, Buster, let me tell you something. He tempted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at least three different ways. And if he's not afraid of the Son of God, he's not afraid of little old you. He'll be at your door. Now, I'm talking to Christians now. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted the Lord, you're already in the devil's camp. He won't bother you, but he'll be under the Christians. And some of the Christians die for their faith. And that God says they'll wear the martyr's crown. And so when we win a battle, and on this battle we have to have, God gives us a whole armor, our faith and our prayers and our trust and the sword of the Spirit he gives us so we can fight this fight. But you have to stay close to Jesus. You have to have Jesus in your heart. You can't do it alone. And so you pray and say, oh, Jesus, I do want you in my heart. I do want you to take away my sins. I want to be whiter than snow. And though, dear Jesus, I'll turn from my sin and I'll follow you the best I can. You can do that. Just use your own words. You don't have to have thee and thou and all of the rest of it. Just talk to him. He wants to hear from him. He's been waiting a long time to hear from you. And he's talked to your heart. He's touched your heart. You haven't heard a voice coming, but you just knew, I need Jesus. I got to have Jesus. I'm sick of this life. And I'm afraid of eternity. I'm afraid of hell. You ought to be afraid of hell. You ought to tremble and shake because that's exactly where the devil's going to be. He's going to be in that lake of fire. And you're going to be there with him unless you just come to Jesus and receive him as your Lord. That's what our prayer is. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. This is what's going to happen to the devil. This is what's going to happen to the angel. I can tell you, just like the end of the book, I can tell you how they're going to end up. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, my God, if that wouldn't turn those people to you, I don't know what would. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Now, if you come to the Lord, if you made that prayer in your own words, you write to us, and we'll send you some scripture. And if you're someplace you can't write or give, get the Gospel of John, the New Testament. Read the Gospel of John. Read the Bible and pray. Get to a church if there's a church you can find one. Get with other Christian people. But if you can get us a letter, we'll send information any place in the world. And I'll tell you where you send it. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or USA. or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And we'd love to hear from you. And when you do send it, you'll maybe want to send a gift to help us. Say, dear Lord, now should I help these people? And then if the Lord says yes, you say, how much? And then he'll tell you. If he says no, give it somewhere else, that's fine. But our only income is from God's people. And so you just write to us. I'm going to give it to the shortwave people again. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want our little publication, a new song, it's a Bible study, you write for that. New song, free and postpaid. Glad to send it to you. It'll bless your heart. This time of month, we're talking about the joy of the Lord, happiness in the Lord. So be sure to write. And if you have a question, we'll try to answer your question. We read every letter we write. Now we're going to pray. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray every week. We pray for our brothers and sisters, the persecuted church in some place, and we're going to pray for them in South Korea. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we're praying now for our brothers and sisters in South Korea. Some of them have given their life, and some of them are lonely, and some are orphans, and some are widowed. And oh, my God, just help those people and help them to know that we love them and we're praying for them and we're encouraged to stand strong because they stand strong. They're giving us strength. And Lord, to those who accepted you today that asked you into their heart, give them the peace in their heart and joy in their heart and help them as they help to advance the kingdom of God. Be with the young people making decisions and be with the old people on beds of sickness and shut in and can't get around and just help them to know that you promised never to leave them or forsake them. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we know you love us. And so we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we hope now that you'll listen to us next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the mind of Christ. What was Jesus like? He's our model. And so when we live our Christian life, we have a model, a perfect model, and that's Jesus. That's going to be next week. And in the meantime, you pray for us, and then don't forget to help us now. Send it to the Christian Worship Hour, and we need your help. And then we'll pray for you, and you pray for us. And God loves us. He loves us all, and you love us, I'm sure. How could you help it? And we love you. How we can't help it, that's why we're in the business. Because we love your soul and we want you to be with us in heaven. And so we'll just trust Jesus and love Jesus. And then we'll see. And wouldn't it be something if this week Jesus would come? He's going to come sometime. Well, what we have to do is when he comes, we want to be working. We want to be working. And that's what we're doing on the Christian Worship Hour. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.